Fellow Freedom fans, David Alan Carmichael here. You are listening to a very important previously broadcast Faith and Freedom show. Stand by, listen up, take notes.
If you do the right thing, folks, you will not surely die. If you do the right thing, you will not surely die. But, folks, if we don't take action, now the sky is falling. That what do they call this thing? The Medicare benefits program is all going to fall apart. The sky is falling. We've got to do something now. You will not surely die. You won't. You know what you got to do? Go by the rule book. There's a program. There is a plan. Of course, I talk to people. I say I do the constitutional basis, biblical basis, the basis of right versus wrong. Always the ideal. Of course, we have to say it. The ideal always is, in the perfect world, right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, you do that first and all those other things will be added as well. That's what Jesus said. Now, we quoted John Locke earlier, and I just scanned through his treatise on government. There's this thing, if men were not vicious, corrupt, and degenerate, then he said, essentially, then we could just all live in a state of nature. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. But because men are vicious, corrupt, and degenerate, we have need of government. But again, it's to punish those who violate the laws of nature, those who are, because of their strength, aggravated assault on the innocent, those who are guiltless. That's the purpose of government, to protect your property. That's the authority that's given you. Biblically, it says to punish those who do good and praise those who do, I mean, sorry, punish those, maybe in the modern state of government, punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. You don't punish people into doing good. See, there's a warped, depraved, corrupt, and degenerate mindset at work that would think, oh, we need men to do good. Let's punish them into it. It's for a good reason. Yes, the means is corrupt, but we have a good ends in mind. You silly goose, you cannot have, it's mathematically impossible to have a good end with a corrupt means. Things go from order to chaos, not from chaos to order. I'm going to read something that came from Pat Buchanan, and I got it from, went through several sources, so it's just kind of out there and the public, and I snatched it up, and I'm going to read it. In the brief age of, and he mentions the name of the current president of the United States, we have truthers, birthers, Tea Party activists, and town hall dissenters. Comes now the quote-unquote Oath Keepers, and who might they be? Writes Alan Maiman in the Las Vegas Review-Journal, Oath Keepers, depending on where one stands, are either strident defenders of liberty or dangerous peddlers of paranoia. Wow! Dangerous peddlers of paranoia. What a great phrase. DPP. Delta Papa Papa. Let's say that three times fast. Dangerous peddlers of paranoia. Dangerous peddlers of paranoia. Dangerous peddlers of paranoia. We can say that. I wonder how many, have we noticed part of the in-flight entertainment is incessantly dangerous peddlers of paranoia? Maybe it's peddlers of dangerous paranoia. Peddlers of paranoia danger? Formed in March, they are ex-military and police who repledged themselves to defend the Constitution. Repledged themselves. Actually, they violated their oath if they have to repledge it, right? Even if it means disobeying orders. If the U.S. government ordered law enforcement agencies to violate the Second Amendment rights by disarming the people, Oath Keepers will not obey. And we'll have to get an Oath Keeper here. I think I'll communicate with somebody. I think he's affiliated with that organization. We'll have somebody come talk. The whole point of Oath Keepers is to stop a dictatorship from ever happening here, says Founding Father Stuart Rhodes, an ex-Army paratrooper and Yale-trained lawyer. My focus is on the guys with the guns because they can't do it without them. They can't. Oh, that's okay. We say that if American people decide it's time for a revolution, we'll fight with you. Now, there's a good question. I'll tell you what, on that whole subject, we'd have to go through this John Locke Treatise of Government and several other things and to debate that entire concept. But that I will tell you that the framers of the Constitution had that in mind when they had the Second Amendment, that their militia guns, in other words, guns of war, each man would have. And at the time, they presumed each man that was over a certain age of majority, is a member of the militia in the state that they're living in. That was just presumed at the time. And so they would need to have ready with them an obligation to protect, to essentially be a portion of the militia. Unless, of course, that they had a duty of religion to not participate. If they had understanding that God prohibited them from doing that, then George Mason would be their lawyer to defend them and say that you cannot punish somebody for doing something when they're obeying God, because we can't protect them from God's punishment if they obey you. Prediction. Okay, Brother Rhodes is headed for cable stardom. That's their prediction. That's Pat Buchanan's prediction. And if the Pelosi-Reid progressives went postal over town hall protesters, calling them, quote unquote, un-American, Nazis, and evil mongers, one can imagine what they will do with the Oath Keepers. As with Jimmy Carter's long-range psychoanalysis of Joe Wilson, the reflexive reaction of the mainstream media will likely be that these are militia types driven to irrationality because America has a black president. Well, that's kind of a rude play on something that Jimmy Carter said. I think Jimmy Carter was off significantly, and bless his heart. We're going to get an Oath Keeper here. I'm going to have an Oath Keeper come talk to us. And our schedule is pretty packed for the next couple of weeks, but we're going to have somebody in here. Yet the establishment reaction seems more problematic for Republic than anything the Oath Keepers are up to. For our political and media elite, whoever those guys are, the elite, we ought to get them a banner on their foreheads, elite, maybe t-shirts, seem to have lost touch with the nation and to be wedded to a vision of America divorced from reality. Well, I say it's just global socialism, but, you know. Progressives are the folks who in the 1960s could easily understand that urban riots took scores of lives and destroyed billions in property, were an inevitable reaction to racism, poverty, and despair. It's just part of the cost, right? In fact, you know what? Those guys agreed with Chairman Mao. Mao, 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 Mao. They could empathize with the rage of campus radicals who burned down the ROTC building and bombed the Pentagon. I read today, you know, in this celebration of this marvelous man who introduced statism and scientism and imposed death upon those superstitious religious radicals that believed in a creator as dangerous to the state. Yeah, they are. Their freedom, our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. If you increase the faith, folks, you increase the freedom. That was something that Mr. Mao could not tolerate. He said that they were going to introduce their political will by the gun, with the gun through the gun barrel. And he said that millions would die when people were pleading with him. People are dying because of your plan. He says, well, it's just what's going to have to happen. If we're going to pull this off, there's going to be a lot of people dead. Well, 40 to 70 million, at least 40, maybe up to 70, maybe more million people. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer, the Bible says. And I think he hated everybody, and he was aggrandizing himself. And we celebrated him last month on September 20th. The dirty, immoral war in Vietnam explains why the finest generation we have ever produced is behaving like this. They said, we must deal with the root causes of social disorder. It's the bourgeoisie, you know, empowering over the proletariat. It's wicked people with great ambition, self-aggrandized, self-gratified, going out doing wicked things, using their power wrongly, folks. But you know what? We have a mechanism to hold people accountable for unlawful behavior. See, those kind of things that they would do that would be wrong would be unlawful, and we can hold them accountable, but we have to have the chutzpah to do it. We have to have courage. Our freedom comes in proportion to our faith. That means we have to have a perspective that we honor law, which was authored by the same guy who made gravity. And we respect it, we honor it, we obey it, we abide by it, we hold others accountable to it, that we punish those who violate it. And when we're not doing that, we are doing those things that are good, that are going to elevate the innocent and weaker in our society. But we do that out of our own natural bent. And as we do that, we will prosper. The fact that the police state is just being increased to impose that on people, just it's a sign of our depravity. It's a sign of our depravity. Folks, your state will dictate what comes out politically. It's not your political ism that makes right. It is right that will influence your polity and your policy. So when we're increasingly going to a decrease in freedom, it is literally an indicator of our inward state. It's a sign of our depravity. As I'll give you the biblical perspective. There's with it talks, and I got to find this. It's in Proverbs, but it talks about as our iniquity, as transgression increases. When the land's transgressions increase, so to speak, and I'm not quoting this directly, but I could find it, many are its princes, in other words, bureaucracies. So as our errors increase and our wrongness and our misguided self-gratification and ambitions increase, so will our government. So as we see the increase of government decrease in freedom, it's supposed to ring a bell of truth to each of us, to reevaluate our particular relationship with our Creator, correct it, do that which is right, and stand back and watch how the entire nation gets benefit. Whites are not only more anxious, but also more alienated. This is Pat Buchanan said. Okay, this is Ron Brownstein reporting in National Journal. Whites are not only more anxious, but also more alienated. Big majorities of whites say the past year's turmoil has diminished their confidence in government, corporations, and the financial industry. Ask which institution they trust most to make economic decisions in their interest. A plurality of whites older than 30 pick none. A grim statement, so says Ron Brownstein in the National Journal. Is all this due to Mr. Obama? Now, he gets into this race thing, and it's a little bit weird, but I'm going to read it because it's there. He says, Pat Buchanan asks, is this due to Mr. Obama's race? Well, he's the human race. How's that? Even Obama laughs at that, so says Mr. Buchanan, as he told David Letterman. I was already black by the time I was elected, and he not only got a higher share of the white vote than Kerry or Gore, a third of white voters who said in August 2008 that race was an important consideration in voting said they were going to vote for Mr. Obama. With black voters going 21 for 1 for Mr. Obama, he almost surely won more votes than he lost because of his race. And folks, that is not the ratio of black Republicans to Democrats. It's not. So it looks like folks literally voted because of race. Bless their hearts. Moreover, the alienation and radicalization of white Americans began long before Mr. Obama arrived. He acknowledged as much when he explained middle Pennsylvanians puzzled progressives in that closed-door meeting in San Francisco. Remember when he said he talked about the working white-class voters in industrial towns decimated by job losses? They get bitter, they cling to guns or religion or antipathy to people who aren't like them, or anti-immigrant sentiment or anti-trade sentiment as a way to express their frustrations. Yet, we had seen these folks before. They were Perotistas in the 1992, opposed NAFTA in 93, blocked Bush, Kennedy, McCain amnesty in 2007. All that to say is, let's just say this. They see Wall Street banks bailed out as they sweat their next paycheck. They then read that banks' profits are soaring and big bonuses for the brilliant bankers are back. Neither they nor their kids ever benefited from affirmative action like other folks. They see a government in Washington that cannot balance its books, win our wars, or protect our borders, or I'd say even want to do those things. The government shovels out trillions to Fortune 500 corporations and banks to rescue the country from a crisis created by the government and Fortune 500 corporations and banks. America was once their country. They sense they are losing it, and they are right, says Patrick Buchanan. We don't want to just give doom and gloom, folks. We're going to give hope, but part of it is equipping with the right perspective, understanding the truth. We're going to deal with these issues on a constitutional basis, a biblical basis, a basis of right versus wrong. My long-term hope is someday you'll reintroduce yourself to your Creator. Your life's going to change significantly. But in the meantime, let's do that which is right. I'm going to love my God, love neighbor as herself. We'll see how it benefits our country.